Welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message brought by our lead pastor, Abe Pfeiffer.
Well, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going to be focusing a bulk of our time. And if you were here last week, you know that we started a brief series here as we close out the summer called Unshakable. And for me, this is something I like to do on a pretty regular basis, at least once a year. I'd like to circle back around at least for 3 or 4 weeks just to give attention to the foundation of our lives. I believe that this is such an important part of discipleship as we, every single one of us, are on this ongoing discipleship journey as we follow Jesus. And it's important that we pay attention to the foundations of our life. It's kind of like your home. It's important at least once in a while to pay attention to the foundational systems of your home, to check, you know, maybe before winter, you're making sure that the pipes and everything, the systems, HVAC and all those things are working right, right? So that there's not more devastating things that happen during the tough seasons, right? And so it's similar in our journey with God that it's so important that we take some time to do that. In fact, just the other day I was had a heartbreaking reminder of this as someone who's a that I invested in the past, that, you know, I got to pastor them and got news that their kind of life has imploded just the other day, and family and all sorts of things have happened, and come, you know, things start to come to the surface in the process. And when I started to ask questions, what really became apparent is that they had neglected some things in the foundation in terms of their spiritual lives, and so these cracks were allowed in, and therefore now the consequences of that are all over. And so for me, my passion as a pastor is to help you and every single person that comes through these doors to build an unshakable foundation that we can, as we become the people that God's made us to be, as our house gets built up, that we become strong and firm. Because we all know life is going to have seasons, right? We're going to have those seasons of challenge that press up against us and threaten to shake our lives. And you know, for me, even as I approach this time of year, we're looking at the fall season, the next 5 months or so as we close out the year. I mean, it's, you know, everything starts to ramp up with school and whether work, business, you got the holidays, all the things that surround that there's so many opportunities to get shaken. And so we want to pay attention to how do we build an unshakable foundation. So last week we talked about having how faith works and having a faith that helps that happen. Today we're going to talk about prayer. That if we're going to be people who have an unshakable foundation, we need to build a prayer life as well that really helps us stand the test of time and endure the times of shaking. Martin Luther, not the civil rights guy, but the Reformation guy from Germany, said this. He said, "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." And I think that pretty well sums it up, so we can be done now. We know, you know, prayer is this essential element, and yet so often we can be prone to our prayer lives pretty much becoming like those moments when it's an emergency toss-up prayer, like, "Oh, Lord, by the way, please help," right? It's just, you know, I guess I really need you now, you know? And sometimes that our prayer life can be summed up by that. I remember hearing the story, it's a goofy little story of a guy who was an atheist, and he's out hiking, and he slips and falls off the side of the cliff, and he's hanging on to a tuft of grass. And he says, "God, if you're there, please help me." And then God answers him and calls down from heaven and says, "I am here. I will help you. Just let go of that tuft of grass." And, you know, I think for us, you know, if your prayer life has been all about just the emergency moments, when those crucial moments come, if you don't have a familiarity with interacting with God, it's going to be really hard to learn your prayer life on the fly. And so prayer life, you know, when you start to talk about this, I think it's important that we see that it comes down to relationship. That having a prayer life that stands the test of time comes down to relationship. And so as we start talking about this today, the first thing I want to note for us, if you're taking notes, is that when to be a person who has an unshakable life that is characterized by a strong prayer life, it begins by this decision to make prayer a conversation with God. That if you're going to have a prayer life that is strong and builds your life to be strong, that you have to make prayer a conversation with God. And what I've seen through the years is that for a lot of people, their prayer life is pretty dry. You know, when it comes to what prayer looks like for them, it's kind of, you know, they don't know what to say, or they, you know, they kind of just go, well, you know, it's almost becoming like a religious recitation, you know. They just kind of, they may go to church and kind of do the motions and everything, but I believe that to experience prayer as God intended it, it is to understand it as a conversation. And so the Apostle Paul, when he was writing the book of Ephesians, and he was trying to help the church understand and what it means to be a person who has relationship with God and who has a prayer life that really makes a difference and helps us grow. He said it this way in Ephesians 2:18. He says, "For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father." And so Paul is saying, if you are going to have a prayer life that, and if you're going to have relationship with God in a way that changes you and that you really grow and thrive and experience abundant life as God intended, understand it first of all that you have access. Now, I heard a Civil War story, a story from the Civil War era, where a soldier, he had been with the Union Army, he had been laying down his life, serving his country, and during that time, something happened where there was a family emergency that came up. And so he was given permission to have a hearing with the president. So he went down to the White House, and he went up to the front gate and said, I'm here to see the president. And they said, "We don't know who you are. We don't have your name. You can't come in." So they sent him away, and he was so discouraged. He went and he found a little park. He sat down on a park bench and just kind of sat there, just kind of bummed out. And a little boy happened to be playing nearby him and came up and noticed that this guy, you know, looked sad and said, "Hey, mister, you don't look too happy. Is something wrong?" And the guy told him what had gone on, that I had this family, you know, just tragedy happen, and they told me I can come see the president, but I came here and turn me away. And the little boy said, "Follow me." And so he starts to follow this little boy, and he walks across the street, in through the White House lawn, right up to the back staircase of the White House, up into the Oval Office, and standing there talking to the Secretary of State is Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln turns over, and he sees the little boy, and he sees the soldier, and he says to the little boy, he says, "Hi, Todd, how can I help you?" And the little boy says, "Dad, this soldier really needs to talk to you." And you see, this soldier had access to the Father through the Son. And it's the same thing with us, that if we're going to be people that begin to understand prayer as this conversation with God, we need to understand that we have access, that we can come freely into God's presence through Jesus Christ. That because Jesus died on the cross, he rose from the grave, that when you put your faith in him, what that means is not just that you get to go to heaven someday, but that through him, you have access to God. The Bible tells us throughout the Old Testament that sin is what separated mankind from God. And so it's why throughout the Old Testament, they had to shed the blood of animals before they could go and have access into God's presence in the Holy of Holies. But then that's why God sent his son Jesus to die once and for all, so we could have access to him. And so Paul's saying, I want you to know you have access to him, this unhindered access to the Father through the Son. And so when we understand that, we start to pray differently. In fact, I would tell you this, that the key to prayer is what I call Trinity-based prayer. Trinity-based prayer. And it's really, the Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so it's understanding, first of all, in fact, let me start it out of Matthew 6, verse 6. If you have your Bibles open, you can look there. I think we'll also have it on the screen. But Jesus, as he's instructing us in prayer, he says this. He says, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So he says, first of all, pray to the Father, as we've just been talking about. And it's coming, when you come to pray and acknowledge him as Father, it's acknowledging, God, you are my Father, you are good, you are love, and so as I come to you with the concerns of my life, I'm coming to you out of that kind of confidence that I have access to you. Secondly, then, as that we would pray through the Son, as we just said a moment ago. So we're praying to the Father through the Son, as Paul talked about. And so, God, I'm coming to you not because I deserve it, not because I've done lots of good deeds and I've earned the ability to now ask you for this big need that I have, but Lord, I come to you knowing that my access and the ability, for the way that I can come before you with confidence is through your Son. So that's why we pray in Jesus' name, right? It's not just a cute little phrase that we have to put on the end of our prayers. No, we're actually, when we pray that way, when we say, in Jesus' name I pray, we're doing that acknowledging that I'm not praying in Abe's name, right, or Bob's name. I'm praying in the name of the one who's given me access to come before the Father. And so we pray through the Son, and then we pray in the Spirit. And here's what, Paul says it this way in Romans 8, 26 and 27. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when we pray in the Spirit, it's saying, it's acknowledging that God has given us his Spirit. Jesus said, I give you the Spirit as a helper. And so when we pray in the Spirit, as we welcome the Spirit into our lives and say, Spirit, lead me, teach me how to pray. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what, that when we pray in the Spirit, we're asking him to lead and to guide us. And so again, this Trinity-based prayer, as we pray with an awareness of him as the Father, and we pray through the Son and pray in the Spirit, it opens up this ability for prayer to become more of a conversation. And again, for a lot of us, I think we have to unlearn some of what, if you were raised around the church or religion at all, sometimes we are kind of inadvertently taught these poor patterns of prayer. That we're given this mindset that somehow it has to look a certain way or be a certain way, or it has to be in King James' language, And so we put all these bells and whistles on. I remember as a kid in Sunday school, being in my Sunday school class, and we had this teacher that would say, okay, boys and girls, bow your heads, close your eyes, fold your hands. And so, okay, it's time to pray. And then she, wait, I see that eye looking, close that eye. Oh, yep. Put that head down, And we're like, please, everybody, just close your eyes so we can get through this prayer, And I'm not saying that we should be dishonoring to God in prayer. I'm not saying that we, but I what I'm saying is, I think when we understand that, when we have an awareness of who he is as we pray, when we acknowledge him in these ways, then it opens the way for God to meet us where we are. Because that's his desire. His desire is, as we pray, that he would get to meet us at our point of need, to meet us right where we are. And so, in fact, when you read through the New Testament, when I talk to a new Christian, I always tell them, if you want to, as you start reading your Bible, start reading in the book of John or one of the Gospels. Because it's in there that you'll get to see and know the heart of God. You'll see Jesus as he encounters people. He'll have conversations with them. And when he has conversations with them, what's amazing is he converses with them at their point of need. For the person that needed forgiveness, he asks them questions and he meets them at that point of need and helps them experience the forgiveness of God. For the person that needs healing, he has conversation with them that leads them to the point of discovering God as the healer. For the person that needs to salvation. He helps them to know that their sins are forgiven. And so every step of the way, God wants us to experience and know him in these ways. And so when we pray and approach prayer as a conversation, it gives us that opportunity to know him in those ways. Here's the second thing I want us to understand about prayer is that if we're going to build a strong prayer life, we need to pray with a heart toward blessing. We need to pray with a heart towards blessing. And what I mean by that is we need to pray with a heart that's aware of and inclined towards the heart of God, which his heart is a heart of blessing. And so we need to have this awareness that God's heart is to bless. And his heart is to bless us. And his heart is to bless others. And so whether we're praying for something in our own lives or we're praying for something that has to do with others, that when we pray with an awareness and a heart towards blessing, it changes the way we pray. And so there's so many ways that you could summarize the blessings of God, but let me just give you a couple of them. One blessing that comes when we pray with a heart toward blessing is that we recognize that one of those blessings is the blessing of relationship, like we've just been talking about, that we have relationship with him and it releases blessing in our life. So Paul talks about it in Philippians 4 when he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." And what? The peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And so what's he saying? When you open up the door of that relationship and you come before him in prayer, that it welcomes his relationship with God in prayer, releases the peace of God in your life. So there's the blessing of relationship. Paul talks about it in other places. In Romans, it talks about how we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so when we come and we refix our attention on him, we renew our mind in his word, and we renew our mind by saying, "God, I'm going to take the concerns of my life, I'm going to bring them to you in prayer, and I'm going to have relationship with you in prayer," that it transforms us as well. And so there's the blessing of relationship. Prayer changes us as we have relationship with him in that way. But the second blessing I would point out to you is the blessing of rewards. The blessing of rewards. That, and John, and you might hear that and you go, "What? What are you?" I'm not talking about stuff necessarily. I mean, we all know that we live in a world where there's a lot of people who have a lot of earthly rewards, and yet they've completely missed the blessing of God, right? That they recognize there's a void in their life. You see celebrities all the time that they have everything, and yet they're living their lives in despair. There's no joy. There's no peace. Their lives are torn apart because they're still trying to pursue the earth's form of blessing, the world's form of blessing, rather than recognizing God and surrendering their lives to him. And so, therefore, their lives are empty. And so the blessing of rewards has to do with when we pray with a heart toward blessing, that we recognize that the rewards of heaven are there for us. So, for instance, John 16, 24, Jesus says, "Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be made complete." Now, often we hear those words, "ask and you will receive," and we go, "Oh, good, then I get my Lexus." Or I get my new house or my boat or whatever. But no, ask and you receive, and your joy will be made complete. The reward is not getting what you want. The reward is joy. The reward is that as you pray, as you continue to ask, that you will get the ultimate reward, which is through relationship with God, the joy, the peace, the transformation that comes. So there's the blessing of the rewards of heaven, but thirdly, there's the blessing of results. There's the blessing of results, that recognizing that prayer changes things. That when you have a confidence in God and you come before him and you bring the concerns of your life before him, that it reaches his heart and he loves to respond to the prayers of his people as they call out to him. In fact, I read earlier in our service from Psalm 105. And throughout that psalm, the psalmist is recounting all the ways that God had been faithful to his people throughout the generations. And then it's interesting because in Psalm 105, verse 40, you can jot it down and look it up later, but it says, the people asked, and he brought quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. The people asked. Often what's standing between us and the bread of heaven is our ability to ask. Have you asked for the bread of heaven? Have you asked God to show up? And when you ask, do you keep asking? In Luke chapter 11, when Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer, and I'll talk about the Lord's Prayer a little bit later here, but in the Luke 11 version, at the end of it, Jesus tells this little parable, this little story of a guy who's at home. He's in his snuggie. He's all cuddled up, and he's sleeping, and someone comes to the door. He's like, go away. I'm sleeping. I'm with my family. We're asleep. Don't bug us. It's the middle of the night. And the guy keeps knocking, and he says, I'm going to keep knocking because you're my friend, for one thing, but I need you to know that I have a guest that's coming from out of town. I don't have any bread in my cupboards, but I know you have bread in your cupboards, and so let me in and give me some bread. And so Jesus says that the guy who was inside the house opens the door, lets him in, and gives him bread. But he said he didn't do it because it was his friend. He did it because of his shameless audacity. That's what a number of translations say. That it describes it as this shameless audacity, this persistence to keep on asking, to keep on praying, to keep on knocking, and to do it specifically. To not just do kind of general, like, God help me, but like pray specifically for what you're asking. And so as we pray and continue to keep knocking, it gives this opportunity for God to show up and to move heaven and earth in response to our prayers. Now, I want you to understand, I'm not preaching necessarily what I would call a name it, claim it. Again, I'm just reading the Bible and kind of responding to what it says, but I've also seen this happen time and time again. In fact, one story that I recently was reminded of, a friend of mine, her name is Andrea Larson. Her and her husband are both doctors, and she was in our church in Oregon, and when I met her over 15 years ago, she had just been diagnosed with this mysterious illness. In fact, she was wheelchair-bound for 10 years. And her and her husband, both doctors, they did everything they could, went to many, many different doctors trying to figure out what this illness was. And in fact, she went to the Mayo Clinic. They flew all over the country to the best doctors in all the nation. None of them could figure out what she had. And meanwhile, she would pray. In fact, myself and many of the church would pray for her time and time and time and time and time and time again. We pray and pray. And then about 5 years ago, in fact, she put it on Facebook reminding the anniversary, but 5 years ago, June, one morning at church afterwards, just like I do here every Sunday, I said, hey, if you want to come forward for prayer, we're here to pray. Well, that morning, between both services, we had 70 people miraculously healed. The people that were healed rise up out of wheelchairs, broken arms healed, sicknesses healed, just like that. And I remember seeing Andrea come forward in her wheelchair for prayer, and nothing happened. And she wheeled out just the same way she came in, and the same way she had for the last 10 years. And she went home and kept coming back, and over the next couple of months, we continued to see God do some really cool things in people's lives. And then in August, 5 years ago, we had a Sunday evening service, and prayer and worship, and had a time of prayer, and she prayed and asked God to heal her just like she had many, many, many times over the 10 years, and nothing happened. And then she went home that night, and as she crawled into bed, she just said, Jesus, would you heal me? And God, she said that God just kind of spoke to her heart and said, you will wake up well. And in the morning, she said she woke up, and she jumped out of bed, and she was going about, and all of a sudden, she realized, I'm walking. And she continued, and they went to doctors. They got things confirmed. Ultimately, she hasn't been back in a wheelchair for 5 years, been pain-free for 5 years. She was miraculously healed. In fact, it was so profound that our city newspaper, the secular newspaper, wrote a story about it because everyone knew her as a doctor in the community and how she had been ill for 10 years and wrote a newspaper story on the miraculous healing of Andrea Larson. And as I talked with her and as she would share her testimony with people, what I loved was that she would say, you know, the encouragement that I would give is, and what I learned is that I would never stop asking, and yet I'd never start questioning God's love for me. I just continued to trust and know that God is able, and if he doesn't heal me until I get to heaven, I'm okay with that. And yet if he heals me here, I know that I'm going to give him all the glory. And, you know, someone came up to me after church and said, man, I don't get that. Like, 10 years, like, why does God wait 10 years to do it? Like, why didn't he just do it 9 years prior? And you know, what my answer to that, and I don't mean to be trite, but I would say, because the ultimate result is not the outcome. The ultimate result is you. The ultimate result is what happens in your life and mine as we continue to come in that way with a heart towards blessing, because you become more and more, you come closer to him and more aware of his love. The third thing I want us to understand, though, is that if we're going to have a strong prayer life, we need to let prayer take us deeper. Because we need to understand that prayer isn't about always getting what we want when we want it. And so if we're going to be transformed and become the people that God wants us to be along the way, it's saying in those times of waiting, as we sang about this morning, that God, take me inward. Help me to see and to learn what you want me to through this process. Again, we don't always get what we want when we want. I remember hearing the story of a little boy who had taken a geography test at school. And he came home afterwards and was really, you know, just discouraged. His mom said, what's wrong? And he said, I had a geography test today, and I don't think it went well. And so she said, well, want to pray about it? And he said, sure, let's pray. And so they began to pray, and he said, Lord, would you please make Paris the capital of Turkey? So, you know, we need to understand there's going to be some prayers that may not get answered, right? In fact, that one I can pretty much guarantee is not going to get answered. But unanswered prayers, this gives us this opportunity to go inward. That when we face unanswered prayer, it gives us this opportunity to go inward. And here's what I've learned is that when I'm faced with unanswered prayer, that when I come and say, God, show me what it is. There have been times where God's pointed out, you know what? There's this area that of sin in your life that I want you to deal with. Or there's other times where he's pointed out, you know, I want you to be obedient. You haven't been an obedient in this area. I want you to be obedient here. Or there's times where he exposes, you know what, you have wrong motives. Your prayer here is filled with wrong motives. And there's other times where he says, I want you to understand this about my will. And yet, through it all, it's coming to this place, again, when we're praying with the heart towards blessing, then we also are saying, God, I trust you that you only give good gifts. And so, therefore, I'm not afraid to go inward and say, and I, by the way, I'm not saying that, when I'm saying go inward, I'm not saying go in and beat up on yourself and, oh, God's not doing this because I'm such a horrible person. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But when you live a life that's confident and aware of his love, then you go, God, I know you love me. I know you're not mad at me. Show me and teach me and instruct me. What do you want me to see? What do you want me to learn so that I can stay on track with you? And so, again, when God doesn't answer our prayers, it gives us an incredible opportunity to go deeper with him. When my pastor died, who had fought leukemia for 23 years or so, I remember being so discouraged and even really having some deep faith questions for a little bit. And yet when I did this, when I went inward, I got to tell you, the next 6 months after that were some of the most profound times that I had with the Lord. I got to experience his love and really get to know him in ways that I never would have imagined. And yet it was through a difficult time. And so God, you know, when we come to that place and say, God, guide me, teach me, even through these unanswered prayer seasons, it's when we get to really experience and know him. Yesterday, I was at Panera prepping my message, and I was sitting there at a little table, and I had my coffee, my Bible, and my computer and everything, and my headphones in, and I'm just doing my thing. And I happened to notice over a table not too far from me, a little family sitting there, and they were eating, and I noticed a little boy around 3 or 4 years old at the table that was not getting what he wanted. And so he was getting more and more frustrated. And finally, he got up from the table and he ran across the room, ran out the door, out onto the patio, and sat down at a little table right outside the window where my table was, and just kind of pouting, put his head down on the table. And his dad patiently followed him out the door and sat down next to him, just kind of smiling and was trying to talk with him. And the little boy finally got up and ran around the front of the store through the other door and did a whole lap around. So the dad, in the meantime, had gotten up and was following him. The little boy ran all the way through Panera, all the way around, came back through, ran right through the same door, back to the same table, and sat down. The dad was quietly, patiently following him and sat back down, smiling, listening, you know, just talking. And the little boy's, you know, you just see in his little eyes, he's gets up again, runs, and does the same lap again, and comes right back. And this time, he doesn't sit back down. He's kind of standing there, and his dad follows him out. And as he stands there, the boy finally turns and looks at his dad, and the dad just takes him and scoops him up in his arms. And it was like you could see all the kind of the indignance just wash away. And it was like he just, in his father's arms, you could just see the love of his father just kind of melt him. And I thought, Lord, isn't that how it is? That sometimes when I don't get what I want, when I want it, I want to run from you. And yet if I'll just come back before you, if I'll just come and stand before you, that it's in that place that I get to experience you and get to know you and experience your love in a profound way. And so we want to let prayer take us deeper because it makes us unshakable. But then fourth, we want to pray with an openness to alignment. That when we're beginning to build these kinds of prayer lives that really help us to be unshakable and to stand the test of time, we want to pray with an openness to alignment with Jesus. And so how does this alignment happen then? I mean, I don't know about you, but when it comes to praying, I know that I need more. I mean, these have all been good things that I've shared with you today, but I know that sometimes I need a little bit more than that, that you know, even if I sit down to pray, I'm kind of get distracted easily, let's say. You know, so I can start to pray, Lord, I just pray for my mom right now. And wait, speaking of my mom, I really should mow the lawn. And oh, I need to go to the grocery store and I need to get some bread. And all of a sudden I'm like, wait, wow, I sat down to pray and now I'm thinking about going to the grocery store. What happened, right? And it's like, I need something to keep me on track, right? And I want to just share with you, for me, what helps me stay on track when it comes to prayer. What helps me not only stay focused, but helps align me with God. That when I'm off track or when I'm praying in a way that maybe God says, no, I want to steer you, I want to guide you in a certain way. Having this as a guide for me really helps. And it's based out of Matthew 6, verse 9, if you have your Bible still open there. And many of us know this as the Lord's Prayer, right? But I actually prefer to call this the disciples' prayer, because this wouldn't be the prayer that Jesus would pray. In fact, his disciples said, teach us to pray, and he gave him this. But he, in this prayer, says, you know, forgive us our sins. Jesus was sinless, so therefore, this is not the Lord's prayer. This isn't the prayer he prayed. This is the prayer the disciples prayed. You know, and this is the one he gave to the disciples and to us to say, you want to learn how to pray? This is it right here. And so he says, pray then like this. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So when I start there, when I start my prayer time with this sentence, I'm taking a little time to acknowledge who he is as my Father. I'm taking time to really acknowledge, God, you are good. Sometimes I'll pray different names of God. God, you're faithful, Lord. You're Abba Father. That you're my provider, Lord. You heal. You restore. You're my Savior. So it's acknowledging who He is. Hallowed. That word, it has to do with His holiness. That God, I'm acknowledging who You are. And so I think it's important when we start our prayer time to start that way, because it really helps us to get our eyes off of us, our eyes off of our problems and our stuff, and just to acknowledge Him. Then Jesus continues. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I think this is really the step in the prayer guide, the prayer process, that really helps align us. Because when we're praying this, we're saying, God, your kingdom come, not mine, right? Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so it's beginning to say, God, I want your purposes to happen in my life. And I want your purposes to happen around me. And so really what this has to do with is surrender. You're saying, God, I'm surrendering to you right now. I'm surrendering this thing that I really, really want, or this thing that I'm really frustrated about, or this thing I don't understand. I'm saying, God, I want your kingdom to come, and so I'm surrendering to your will, to your purposes. And it's saying, I know that you're doing a work to bring heaven here on earth, and I want to be part of that. So as we pray that way, it's giving that kind of attention. And then we continue with verse 11, where he says, give us this day our daily bread. As I mentioned, for me, when I pray on a daily basis, I get distracted easily, so I have to kind of move a little bit. So I basically have this track that I do kind of around my house. And so when I come to this part of the prayer, I'm praying by my dining room table. And I'm looking at my dining room table, and I'm saying, give us this day our daily bread. But what I do here is I start by giving thanks for all the ways God has provided for me. And I start to just give him thanks. I give him thanks for people he's placed in my life. And then I begin to really call on him for ways that I'm asking him to provide and to bless. And it's during this time that often I pray for many of you. There are times where I'll pray for up to 75, 100 people in this time, where I'll just begin to pray by name over people and just, God, do this and bless them and heal them and restore them. And I'll just, at the table, I'm just marching around my table praying, God, bless and pour out your bread, the bread of heaven in these situations. Bless us in these ways. And then verse 12, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. For me, when I'm walking in my prayer process, this is when I get into my kitchen and I'm praying this by the kitchen sink, right by the garbage disposal, right? Because as far as the east is far from the west, so far as he removed our sins from us down the garbage disposal, right? They're just gone. They're away. And I love to there just say, God, I confess any areas, Lord, of sin and brokenness in my life, I bring those to you. But then I also take time to confess, God, this is who you've made me to be. Lord, I am a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. That I confess, I am a man that you have made for these purposes, to be a husband, to be a father, to be a pastor. And then it's acknowledging, Lord, if there's anyone I need to forgive, help me to see that. And I release those things and I pray blessing over them. And then the final part, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And this is where I then take time to say, God, lead me today. Today, as I move forward with the rest of my day, lead me in your ways. Guide me. And so, just a simple guide, and there's a lot of different prayer guides out there. I like this one because it's in the Bible. But when you pray, what I've found is that, and when you're praying with this kind of heart towards the Lord that says, God, I want to be aligned with you, and I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done in my life and through my life, that God begins to move mountains. And yet the greatest mountain that he first moves is the mountain within us, the mountain that's keeping us from the greater things, from the things he wants to do. So as we pray, I always want to encourage you, pray often. Pray as much as you can. And pray on your own and pray with others. And pray persistently. I'll share one more story that always encourages me. It's of a woman who I ran into. We had a baptism service, and at the end of the service, I ran into her by the doors, and she was crying. And I'm going, why are you crying? I mean, this is like the greatest service ever. Like, people have been baptized, and they're surrendering their life to Jesus. I mean, this is great. And she said, Pastor, I'm crying because today my mom was baptized. And I said, well, that's good news, right? She said, well, I really am. Just overwhelmed with joy. She said, I want you to know, though, I've been praying for my mom to come to Christ for 20 years. And she said, I prayed for 5 years straight, and nothing happened. I was so frustrated. I came to this moment where I almost gave up, and I said, who needs this? God's not hearing my prayer. And then she said, but something happened. I came to church, and I was encouraged to keep praying, and so I prayed for another 5 years. And at about the 10-year mark, She said, this is ridiculous. You know, I'm wasting my breath. In the 15-year mark, same thing. She, so struggling, and man, this I feel so foolish. And she said, the 19-year mark, I almost gave up. But I kept praying. And she said, a few months ago, my mom gave her life to Christ. And today she was baptized here, and she said, I will never doubt the power of prayer again. And again, you know, I love stories like these. And for some of us, depending on your personality, for some of us, it's like, oh, good, there's hope. Others of us go, you mean it could be 20 more years of praying? But again, I want us to understand that the greatest result is not merely that we get what we're asking for, but the greatest result is us. What God does on us as we draw near to Him, as we call out to Him, as we build lives that are passionate in prayer, calling out to Him for the little things and the big things along the way. I want you to set your Bibles aside, and I want us to, as our worship team comes forward, just to take a few minutes here to just respond to the Lord. And I believe in a message like this, I believe that if even half of us really took this seriously, I believe that our whole community would see revival. If even half of us began to say, I'm going to pray like I've never prayed before, I believe that we would see more salvations in this next year than we could ever fathom. But it requires this tenacity, because we all know how easy it is to get worn out in prayer. And yet I believe that if we invite God and say, God, give me the strength to pray in a new way, to call out to you, to keep on keeping on. Give me that strength, because I don't have it in my own self, that He's faithful to do that. The Bible even talks about how the Holy Spirit gives us even a gift of faith. That a gift has to do with something that's outside of ourselves. That God by His Spirit would say, I'm going to deposit in you a faith that doesn't come from your own willpower, doesn't come from your own strength. It's a gift that I'm going to give you. I'm going to infuse you with a supernatural strength to believe even when everyone else says it's impossible. I'm going to give you that gift. And I believe that's something that God's wanting to impart today, that He's wanting to give some of us in this room the gift of faith, to believe Him to do the impossible where we've given up faith, where we've stopped hoping, where we've stopped praying, where we've stopped believing, that He would say, no, I'm going to give you something outside of yourself, but you've got to open up to me. You've got to take the first step to say, I'm in. You got to take the first step to say, God, I'm going to trust you. Is anyone here today that say, That's me. I want to today to be the first step in the rebuilding of my prayer life. God, I want my prayer life to be a foundation for me that allows me to be strong and firm, that even when things are going on around me, God, I want to be unshakable as I pray, as I seek your face. And so, God, I'm saying today, I need your strength. I need your strength. Just go ahead and close your eyes. I want this to be something between you and God. But if you'd be one that would say today, that's me. God, I'm making today a day where I'd say, I need you, God, to give me strength to rebuild my prayer life. If that's you, would you just lift up your hand right now and say, that's me, God. Do that in me today. Give me that gift of faith. Give me that supernatural ability to believe you to do the impossible. Yeah. God, right now you see these hands lifted to heaven, Lord, and each one of these represents a heart, Lord, that is turning towards you. Even as I described that picture of the child running from their father earlier, Lord, that some of these here today, they're saying, God, I'm going to stop running and stop being frustrated over the things that haven't happened. And God, I'm going to turn my heart towards you. And right now, Lord, I pray that they would experience your presence, Lord, just embracing them, that they would experience the fullness of your love. Lord, that they would experience a joy and a peace. Lord, they would meet them right where they are, right here, right now. Lord, I pray that you would awaken within them a faith to believe you, a faith to continue praying, a faith to continue serving, a faith to continue loving and being faithful, Lord, with what you've given them. Lord, I pray a blessing over them. I pray protection over their hearts and minds. I pray that you would guard them and give them peace, Lord, even when there's no reason for peace, they would experience, Lord, a supernatural peace that comes from you. And so, Lord, I speak your grace over them. I pray a blessing over each one in this place. I pray that we would be a people, Lord, that as we pray, Lord, that not only we would get to see miracles happen, not only would we see lives transformed, transformed and see families transformed and all of that. But Lord, that we would personally be transformed, Lord, becoming more and more like you. Lord, that we would get to live our lives in such a way that we would shine brightly, Lord. That no longer would heaviness be over us, but instead, Lord, that there would be a lightness about our lives. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for each one in this place, that they're not here by accident. You have them here for a reason. And I believe it's because you're beginning something great. And so we stand today so thankful, Lord, that you are here, that you are faithful.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.